looking at a Rambam. Rambam is the end of Hilchos Chiras in Perek Yud Gimel. He ties in Halachos of Chiras into this week's parsha. Practical Halacha L'maisa is a little bit more complicated. So the Rambam is talking about the halachas of feeding, that you have to allow your animal to eat while it's working. You have to, with some rules, you have to allow the worker to eat while he's working. If I'm renting out my parah to you, I could not feed him so well the day before, so tomorrow when he goes threshing with you, because halacha is you cannot muzzle him while he's threshing, he's going to eat more, so I'm allowed to be a little bit on the ball, and you know, I'll give my animal less to eat the day before, and I'll rent it out to you the next day, and you know, my animal will get a very big lunch while he's working for you. On the other end of the spectrum, the renter realizes this animal is either going to eat a lot of my grain, so he gives him a lot of straw to eat beforehand, that he shouldn't hate to eat beforehand, that he shouldn't eat so much. So that's work. That's fine. Okay, the lucky is the workers allowed to eat the grapes while they're picking the grapes. I can give them a little bit of wine beforehand. So they drink more wine. They're not so hungry. They won't eat so many grapes. You can make yourself very thirsty. So maybe you want to eat the grapes because they're fresh and they're juicy. So you can make yourself a little more hungry.
Doesn't drinking wine make us more hungry?
The Mora says that drinking a little bit of wine makes you hungry. Drinking a lot of wine makes you full. Okay. Alva. Alva, Enopal, Rashad Lassus, Malata, Malaydo, the Haskrats of Bayam. I can't do a night, have a night job, and then rent out by day also. Our Lodish, but also Arvis, the Haskir Chakras, or have my animal use do my threshing at night, and then rent it out to you for your threshing tomorrow, because when it comes to work, it's tired, it's not going to do a good job. And when you rent it, you have a right to get a fully functioning animal. Furthermore, I have a chiyuv to eat well. The worker has a chiyuv to eat well, that when he's hired, he will be able to present a good job. And even if the reason why he is limiting his intake of food is because he wants to feed his family, he can't do that because he's stealing from the balabais. When he's presenting himself as a worker, he's presenting himself as a worker that with full capacity of work. So he's stealing from the balabais if he's going to minimize his food intake, or misagabatza means he's going to fast, those type of things, because he's weak, his focus is not so strong because he's tired and hungry, and he won't do the malach appropriately.
So really, is that only like an extreme case? Because we were saying earlier that you couldn't refrain from eating, so you'll eat more when you're on the job.
Correct. So the lashon hamar, he's going to starve himself. Uh-huh. Right? So a person decides that, you know, he's overweight and he really needs to go on a diet, and he eats an apple for breakfast. He comes into work and he's really hungry and he's not focused. So he would not be allowed to do that without getting permission from his boss, because he's minimizing his capacity of work during the workday. Kederach Shemuzer Balabai Shal Yisal Skar Oni, just like we've given much thought to beforehand that the Balabai has to pay in the right time, and he has to pay appropriately. So the poor man, meaning the person who doesn't own and he's renting himself out for work, can't steal from the balabayas. Cannot steal from the balabayas the malacha that he owes him. The Mora says that the skir being rented out is like buying you for the day. So I bought you. So when I rent you, the same way when I rent the car, it's like I bought the car for the day. When I rent you, when I hire you, is if I bought you for that. It means your work belongs to me. So I waste a little time here, waste a little time there. I have to really use my time appropriately for the employer. The Gemara says that poyalim, because there are three brachas in benching. Chazal added a fourth one. So the halacha is that workers, poyalim, which are working for the balabayas, do not say the fourth bracha. And of the three brachas they say the first one, and they combine the second and third as one bracha. Why? Because otherwise they're stealing from the balabayas. They're taking extra time for benching. Now, we don't pass them like that, bisman azeb, because we assume that level of extra time that it takes for the extra minute to say the bracha, nobody's makbid on anymore. But you see, Mikra Adin, the Rambam is saying that this is how Chazal viewed the level of responsibility of a worker. A person has a chiyuv to work with all of his efforts, all of his strength. So Yaakov and Tzadik Omer, so Yaakov Inu, in this week's parsha, calls out Rachel and Leah to the field and says that, you know, your father's taking advantage of me, and on my end, even though he's taking advantage of me, I have given him my full focus of work. And the Rambam doesn't see that what Yaakov Inu was saying was amid his chassidus. This is Berzin's chiyuv. Chayuv la'avod b'kol kerchay. So what Yaakov did was he was honest, and with integrity he did what a worker is supposed to do. Now, it happens to be that 99% of the workers in the world might not do that, but Yaakov Inu did that. But he wasn't doing something which is beyond the letter of the law. And the Bereshim paid him back with reward in the world to come and in this world as well, and he became very wealthy. So the payback for being the integrity which he had in regards to financial matters was that he received a financial reward in this world as well, besides the extraordinary star that he got in Olam Haba for being Naaman to his work. So so the applications of this to Halacha L'maisa would seem to be pretty straightforward, but there are multiple Gemaras which introduce something called Minig HaMedina. So straightforward, there's a level of that I have to work. Now, the Baal HaBayis has a chiyuv to provide certain foods. The worker has a chiyuv to provide a certain amount of work, etc. But the Gemara is clear that contractually we can make up any contract that we want. So if we would make up an arrangement any other than what we have over here, that's fine. Then the Gemara says above and beyond the ability to make up contractually anything that you want. Above and beyond that, if there's a standard in the Medina, what's called Minig HaMedina, Minig HaMedina will function in lieu of a contract as if we made a contract, because that's the expectation of people involved that we're doing it based on that on this idea. So Minig HaMedina, translating into the modern person, say that what we translate into industry standard. So the fact that maybe we've done it once or twice, the type of thing, that's not going to be enough. But if this has become the standard expectation, so that when I hire you based on that assumption. So you must live up to the standard expectation. Barring any specific standard expectation, we go back to the basic halacha that I have a responsibility. The Ramah adds that a person can't stay up late at night because that will minimize his ability to work the next day. The Pesukim talk about a melamed, a person who's teaching, so he can't even get up. You know, he wants to learn his own learning. Well, you know, but that might be diminishing your ability to be available for your students. So much room for myself already over here. Getting enough sleep. Getting up early to learn, right? So all of these things, barring any type of contractual arrangement or industry standard, we'd assume that I still have this chiyuv to do that. Now, on a practical level, it becomes very difficult to translate this into lemaisa, because industry standard assumes each industry is different. The level of your position in the company might also make a difference, and all those things would be recognized by halacha as valid. one thing which I want to point out is, so, you know, one of the applications of this is above and beyond my work, is the other end of there is let's say, so besides, quote unquote, taking advantage of the time of the Baal HaBayis, what about taking advantage of the Baal HaBayis's materials, you know, so pens, pencils, paper, etc. So, I have a business, you know, a retail business. So we provide coffee available for the customers. Can an employee take coffee? All the foodstuffs, those type of things. So what's the expectation and what's acceptable? So there's a fascinating discussion of a shach and the ksois, etc. There's a sugya in Bar Metzia called Yish Lamidas. So Yish Lamidas, the classic application of it is this idea of, had I been aware, I would have agreed to X, but I wasn't aware yet. That's really what the concept of Yishlo Midas is. In the case of whether a person has a lost item, there's a concept of law that if a person is aware that he lost it, and he accepts that fact that it's lost, the item now becomes ownerless and available for anybody to take it. So I did not know that I lost it yet. Had I known, I would have accepted the fact, because it's very hard for me to get it back, due to the lack of any type of proof, lack of the circumstances, whatever it might be. So, okay. So had I known that it's lost, I would have accepted the fact that it's lost. But I didn't know that it was lost yet. I just wasn't aware of the fact that it's gone. That's called Yish Lamidas. So we pass the Yish Lamidas, lo have a Yish. The Gemara it takes that concept and applies it to the following. I come into your house, and I want to take some food. We have roommates in the dorm, and I want to take some food. The boss, I want to take some food from the food available in the office. So if there is a upfront knowledge, which means there's a standard policy, means the boss is basically agreeing to X, so that's not Yish Lamidas, that's Yish Midas. I mean, that means the person has accepted a certain reality and made it acceptable to him. But let's say it's only because he likes me very much. Really, Reuben, the dorm case, Reuben does not want anybody taking his food. But for Beryl, he doesn't mind the Beryl should take. If Beryl would ask him, he would say, of course. But Beryl never asked him. So even though we Beryl could feel confident, they're such good friends, that he would say, of course. But since Beryl never asked, so that's Yish Lamidas. I'm accepting something which I don't know about yet. The owner, Reuben, does not know that Beryl is here and wants to take something. Had he told Beryl up front, whenever you stop by, please take. Fine, that's the equivalent of he's accepting up front. But had he not, so the ksoi says in that situation, I can't take. It's called gzela if I take. So if I have a special relationship with the boss, he doesn't mind that I should take all these extra items. But whereas the standard in the company is not, if I never asked him, and never really discussed it, the fact that I can assume that for sure he would agree doesn't make him mutter. Would have to be that I clarify that with him up front.
What about in the place where they assume people are going to take?
So if,
like an airport lounge puts out tea and things like that.
Well, that's the assumption that they're put out there for the purpose of people to take. So that's not, that's the Yish Midas.
No, I saw someone pocketing.
So that would not be mutter, you know, because that wasn't what they put it out for. So, you know, they put it out, the person should, while he's in the lounge, we should take advantage of it. So, you know, theoretically, the boss doesn't mind somebody, his employees, going to the tea room, or whatever you call it, you know, the supply room, and get a snack. You know, listen, it helps the workers work better, but the guy should put 5 bags of chips to take home for his kids. He can't do that, obviously, that wasn't what it's put there for. I'm his best friend, and he would, of course, agree that I should take some things home from the kids. He loves my kids. That might be true. But if you never discuss it with him, you can't do it. And that's the point we're saying over here. The same thing with expense accounts. The same. So there's going to be a standard. There's going to be some ambiguous cases, obviously, where, you know, what do you do in a case where I went for a business trip, but I would have done it anyway? I mean, I just had this, you know, for tax purposes, I had the question. I went to a chasna, which there clearly was, as a Rebbe, as a Rav, I felt an obligation to go, and that's a valid business expense for clergy. But the one of the people and one of the parents involved was a close friend. I would have went as for the friend anyway. But right, you know, the individual who's getting married was functioning as a Rebbe Talmud relationship. I might have went as a friend relationship. So I don't know. So that's, you know, that's a hard question, where you draw the line for those type of things. You know, the jury's out. My accountant trying to decide that on that one. But the, if I would have a business account with expense account with the boss, I would have the same type of question. Okay, what about let's say you know, the boss wanted me to go on a trip and I bought a ticket, and he canceled the trip. The ticket's non-refundable. So who owned, you know, so the tickets I made on my name, they're not transferable. So either the ticket is going to go to waste, right? The boss paid for it. Do I have to pay the boss back, or it was his decision to cancel it? You can get in some very not clear cases when you get those type of things. But getting back to the original issue of employee responsibility, that the employee has a chiyuv to use his time well. So whatever the definition in that industry is called well, is a very, really, person really has to be very careful with that. Assuming that there's not a clear, anything which is ambiguous, a person should be machmer. You're dealing with potentially the concept of gezel, and the Rambam understands that this is an act of gezel. This is, my time is sold to my employer, and he owns it. If I take it for myself, I'm stealing. That's how the Rambam construes the concept. Now, if you have a industry standard where the expectation is I need to produce X amount of hours per week, and the boss doesn't care when I do that, so that's the industry standard. So then he owns X amount of hours, but not specifically during the hours of 9 to 5 or whatever it is. I have to, if that's what is expected, that's expected. If he expects me to work 9 to 5 no matter what, so the fact that says, oh, no, I'll pay it back later on is not necessarily acceptable.
Do we define industry standard by the boss or the company or the division? I mean, because there's lots of different standards at work in terms of this is the way the company says to do things, but this is the way we do things in this office. And
so
there's the corner of the office.
What?
In the corner of the office.
Right.
Okay, so there's an assumption in halacha that a manager is authorized to make a certain, he has a certain level of discretion.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to many different areas. You know, I want to go back and make a return, and really it's not the policy, but he says, you know what, you're a good customer, I'll take it back here anyway. That's part of the discretion of the manager to make business decisions. It's worthwhile to keep this customer happy because he's going to come back again and again, even though it's not officially return policy of the company. So really, he's stealing from the company by giving you back money back to me. But no, he's not, because that's he has a certain amount of discretion. It's the same thing over here. A manager has a certain amount of discretion. So assuming that his employees are being productive, and that's what the upper levels of management wants, so we'll assume that he's within range. If he's playing, he wants to be, you know, make everybody like him a lot, and really the upper levels of management are not really happy, so he wasn't authorized to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But within range, you could have theoretically, there's multiple offices of Company X, and each one has its own manager, and there's going to be a different standard of how they're going to accept. But that's not a standard issue. That's more along the lines of contractual. Mm-hmm. We've agreed to over here to a certain way of doing it, and if everybody agrees to that, and that, you know, if the company agrees to that, that's fine. But there's also a certain expectation which is sort of standardized. You know, lawyers function, most lawyers function a certain way, whether they're in New York or whether they're in Los Angeles, etc. Federal government might be a little bit different. I'm sorry, Yeshua. Federal government might be a little bit different than, let's say, private sector. Then that's a different industry, many ways, shapes, or form.
What about where someone has complete discretion, but the funds are, let's say, their shutfim or their public or whatever it is, but the person himself has complete discretion.
So, if he has complete discretion, that means that the owners have him, you know, authorized him to do that. So
it's based on the person who has discretion. It's based on their judgment of what is reasonable and what's not.
Well, correct. I mean, assuming that was he was authorized to do. That was, we have to assume. Okay. So we didn't give you.